KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, a little bit of drizzle, and at 62 degrees, we look for it to be cloudy today with areas of drizzle or light rain this morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 72. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In state news, the National Weather Service in Des Moines says a storm survey team may be sent to the Perry area today, where a tornado reportedly touched down 3 miles north of town at around 2:30 p.m. Wednesday. Some large trees were uprooted. The twister was one of seven reported across the state. One tornado was confirmed to have taken place 2 miles northwest of Scranton in Greene County. The rope-like twister was caught on video by employees of Scranton Manufacturing and professional storm chasers. Other unconfirmed tornadoes were observed near New Providence and Hubbard in Hardin County, near Peyton in Greene County, and two separate instances happened west and southwest of Chillicothe in Wapello County. In other areas, funnel clouds were observed near Steamboat Rock in Hardin County, 3 miles west of Adel in Dallas County, near Harcourt in Webster County, and near Gilbert in Story County. There are no reports of injuries. The National Weather Service's a preliminary assessment indicates the tornadoes were a weak EF0 with wind speeds of less than 73 miles per hour. The storms also brought heavy rains to parts of the area. One inch and a quarter was reported to have fallen 3 miles west of Oakland yesterday at around 4 p.m. And in other news, the Atlantic City Council last night approved an order to temporarily restrict parking on the east side of Palm Street from 7th until 10th Street on July the 28th. The restriction is necessary so drivers of pickups and trailers coming into the Cass County Fair for the tractor pull event have room to negotiate the turn onto the fairground driveway. And Mayor Dave Jones yesterday reminded residents the city is cracking down on fireworks usage in the city.
Most people need to know you cannot shoot fireworks on the city streets of Atlantic. You cannot shoot fireworks off any alleys of Atlantic. It's public city property. The airport is public city property. Be courteous to your neighbor and you're shooting fireworks off. Don't be blowing them up with it after midnight. Last year with a learning year, we said we're going to see what's going to happen. This year it's going to be more of a money-making year for the city if they want to break the law.
According to city ordinance, it is not illegal to set off, or rather it is illegal to set off fireworks within 300 feet of a public school building, assisted living facility, or hospital. Fireworks can only be shot off on private property. Atlantic Police will crack down on issuing warnings and tickets to those who were warned last year about violating the ordinance. Violators will be subject to a $250 fine plus $85 in court costs. Anyone who is previously found guilty of violating the ordinance may be subject to a $600 fine plus court costs if they are a repeat offender. The ordinance allows residents of Atlantic to set off fireworks from noon until 10 p.m. July 2nd and 3rd. Displays are also allowed on July 4th from noon until 11 p.m. A water main break early Wednesday morning in Audubon has resulted in a precautionary boil water advisory for any water that might otherwise be ingested through drinking, cooking, or brushing teeth. Audubon City Clerk Joe Foran told KJAN News yesterday the main fractured or broke under Tracy Street near South Division.
About 3 o'clock this morning, we had a water main break. So what has happened is as they're getting that fixed, the water tower went down to a considerable level. So we've had to institute a boil water advisory. And that's just so that whenever the water tank gets too low, we just worry about bacteria getting into the system.
And again, that break happened early Wednesday morning. Once the line broke, it lowered the level of the water in the city's water tower. And when that occurs, a boil order or advisory is issued. As he said, the boil advisory will be in place until the system is fixed. And once that happens, tests must be conducted to ensure the water is safe.
The way the process is with the DNR, we'll take a test sample, and then 16 hours later, we'll take another test sample. And as long as those both come back with no bacteria in them, we'll lift the advisory.
In the meantime, all water used for consumption should be boiled before use, or you can choose to use bottled water. Showering and bathing is okay during a boil advisory, but you need to be careful not to ingest the water while doing so. You can check out the CDC's boil water advisory fact sheet under a link provided on the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday canvassed and certified the results of a recount vote requested for the District 3 Board of Supervisors seat following the June 5th primary. The recount was conducted Monday by a group of three individuals, one selected by candidates Dana Halder. He picked Dale Gross and John Hartkopf, who picked David Ginther. The third, Chip Hansen, was chosen by Gross and Ginther. The results, as previously mentioned after the recount, showed 158 votes for Holder, 160 for Hartkopf, and 103 for Linda Templeman. Auditor Dale Sunderman said the scenarios under how votes may change would include if a machine rejects a cast ballot, usually because the mark is too small or the wrong color ink is used, the voter is given the opportunity to remark the ballot and return it or pick up a new ballot. More likelihood, he said, is that they chose to leave it as is so the machine did not pick it up. He said also on the hand count, as long as the marks are consistent for all marks on the ballot, it can be counted as a vote. He says that's likely happened when Halder received one extra vote, and Sunderman believes also that Hartkopf's loss of a vote could have been the result of an inconsistent mark. He said if the marks are not consistent or if someone marks an X, the machine doesn't understand that, and it's hard to determine the voter's intent in some cases when they cast their ballot, and that's during a hand count. In other business, the Board of Supervisors passed on the first reading an amendment to the Veterans Emergency Assistance Program Ordinance, which provides assistance to Cass County military veterans who are unable to meet their basic needs because of an emergency situation. The changes reflect some wording and clarifications. They also approved the appointment of Dr. Edna Becht as Deputy Cass County Medical Examiner, with her term ending 12/31/18. And a display of fireworks was approved for an unincorporated area of Cass County. Elsewhere in Southwest Iowa news, the Creston Police Department reports a man from Adair County was arrested late last night on two Union County warrants for domestic assault and violation of a protection order. 28-year-old Spencer Leitzel of Greenfield was taken into custody in Creston at around 10:20 p.m. and was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Court records indicate a fired Denison police officer will be paid nearly $350,000 to settle his lawsuit against the city for wrongful termination. Brad Wendt, who runs a gun shop in Denison, also worked as a policeman, but he was fired in 2017 after it was learned numerous hunting violation charges had been filed against him in December 2015 by DNR officers in Cass County. Wendt was on unpaid administrative leave when he was terminated. According to court documents received by KJAN, Wendt filed a lawsuit in November 2016 against the city and former Denison Police Chief John Emsweiler. The lawsuit alleged Wendt was a victim of retaliation for disclosing a file of inappropriate images on Emsweiler's computer to Brad Bonner, who was acting as mayor pro tem, and for reporting a search conducted by Emsweiler to the Iowa Ombudsman's Office. The city of Denison's insurance company will pay the largest share of the settlement, about $232,000. The city of Denison is paying Wendt $65,000 for emotional distress and another $50,000 for lost wages. Wendt's attorney will be paid about $250,000 as well. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reports a couple from Hamburg were arrested Wednesday on two counts each of felony child endangerment by being exposed to methamphetamine. During an investigation, deputies determined two minor children in the care of 33-year-old Eric Borrego and 30-year-old Amanda Borrego had tested positive for exposure to meth. The couple was being held in the Fremont County Jail without bond pending further court proceedings. The Iowa Department of Human Services and Project Harmony assisted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office in conducting that investigation. Two people were arrested on separate charges Tuesday in Mills County. The sheriff's office said yesterday 38-year-old Michael Thomas Manning of Papillion, Nebraska, was arrested for disorderly conduct by loud and raucous noise and criminal trespass. His bond was set at $600. And 22-year-old Kayla Shea Richardson of Glenwood was arrested on a warrant for pretrial release revocation. Her bond was set at $25,000. The Union County Sheriff's Office yesterday said the driver of a 1998 GMC pickup suffered what were described as suspected minor non-incapacitating injuries during a single vehicle accident that happened around 8:30 a.m. Monday. 15-year-old Rachel Boyer of Kent was traveling south on the High and Dry Road in Union County when a deer ran out in front of her. Boyer, who was wearing her seatbelt, swerved to miss the animal and in the process lost control of her vehicle. The pickup rolled into the West Ditch and sustained $5,000 damage. The teen was transported by private vehicle to the hospital in Creston to be checked out. And the Union County Sheriff's Office's a man from Afton reported Monday morning that someone placed fraudulent charges on his checking account. The incident happened sometime last Saturday. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.